For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. Everyone knows that Scott Dam creates Lake Pillsbury, which plays a major role in the water supply of southern Mendocino and Sonoma counties. The lake is also a well-known tourist destination. But in the wake of PG&E's abandonment of the Potter Valley Project, nobody knows what will happen to Scott Dam or Lake Pillsbury. That hasn't stopped Pat Higgins of the Eel River Recovery Project from coming up with a plan for the stretch of the Eel between the lake and the Van Arsdale Reservoir behind the Cape Horn Dam in Potter Valley. Dams in or dams out, he says. That stretch of waterway is ideal for recreation and restoration projects. Higgins is the river's best salesman, extolling its qualities from Pioneer Bridge between two dirt roads in Potter Valley on a misty Saturday morning.
As you look upriver here, you get a sense, it's like the forest primeval. It's a super charismatic river. It's got old growth forest on the north facing slopes, and then on the south facing slopes, it gives way to your chaparral and your gray pine and your oak forest. And then as we cross up towards Soda Creek, it also goes through melange terrain. So it has beautiful grasslands where the elk graze.
The Eel River Recovery Project does not take a position on dam removal, focusing instead on studying and saving the plants, animals, and tributaries that make up the watershed. But salmon habitat between the dams is poor because it's hard for softball-sized spawning gravel to flow through Scott Dam. And steady water flows have straightened the river and allowed willow trees to flourish along the banks, narrowing the channel and reducing the diverse habitat that fish require in various life stages. Higgins thinks there's a way to restore that habitat, regardless of whether one, both, or neither of the dams comes out. He's starting a feasibility study on this idea, paired with a recreational waterside walking and biking trail. He also thinks that the river, restored to a calm, meandering condition, would present an ideal boating opportunity. Last weekend, a dozen field trippers, including Higgins, drove to Soda Creek, starting from Pioneer Bridge.
This would be one of the anchors for the trail. So this could be a campground. And then people could get on this trail, like a 12-mile trail, ride your bike up to the other end and back, take a couple of days, walk it. When we get up to the mouth of Soda Creek, you'll see that there's another ideal flat spot, great place for like camping. And so if you had camping at the upper end and camping at the lower end, and we have a trail that parallels the river,
Higgins led the group to the edge of the bridge. Everyone peered into the water below as he revealed the conservation part of the plan.
When it goes from a pool into a riffle, and you can see the water's beginning to flow more rapidly here, this should be cobble. This should be like softballs and hardballs. But if this water was clear, you'd see that it's nothing bigger than a golf ball. This is one of the few places where the river channel is not really seriously confined by willow on both sides. And you know why that is? It's because there's so much vehicle traffic here that it's kept down the riparian vegetation for forever.
He described the willow stands as a straitjacket for the river channel, turning it into a fast-moving chute that rushes large gravel along the stream bed.
It's almost impenetrable, and between it, it's like a bobsled run. I mean, when the river comes up and it's just between a narrow riparian, it's got a huge amount of energy in that confined space. And so then it also has shear stress to where it moves the stream gravels, and that's why the stream gravels just move out.
At Trout Creek Campground, the group came upon a willow berm that illustrated the point. Higgins advocates a method of willow control called feather edging, which is a little more precise than the method we saw under Pioneer Bridge.
And so basically, you just run your backhoe right down there through the campground. You dig all of this stuff out. And if you reconnected this flood terrace here, easier access to the river for recreation, unlock spawning gravels.
What about other kinds of vegetation, like that would shade the water and cool it off and provide woody spots for fish to hang out in? Like, is there any other vegetation management other than removing the willow?
Well, so what's interesting is that if it remains a tailwater, where they take the water out of the bottom of Lake Pillsbury and it runs down cold all the way to where they divert it for Van Arsdale, it doesn't matter if there's shade or if there's no shade, because the cold water is more a function of
the thermal mass coming out of the reservoir. And so below dams that are retained, feather edging isn't that important because the water is really cold already. And the shade in a big river canyon like this is not that significant. If you took the dams out, the question becomes a little more complicated in terms of like potential thermal impacts. But I think the disruption for Chinook salmon spawning and rearing trumps that. So I think that the question of the thermal changes related to riparian removal are far outweighed by the improvement of Chinook salmon habitat that would accrue.
Near the end of the day, the group gathered on another bridge at the mouth of Soda Creek, which joins the Eel about a mile below Scott Dam. Higgins thinks that in this part of the watershed, the willows that constrain the flow elsewhere could be put to good use.
We're seeing the mouth of Soda Creek here, and it's all spread out, and the channel is very shallow, and it tends to lose surface flow. And so the Soda Creek channel needs restoration, and it's possible that there could be a synergy between the restoration project between the dams where we take out willow clumps and reconfiguring the floodplain here on Lower Soda Creek. If you take out the willow clumps in what's called feather edging with a backhoe, you take all of their roots out and then essentially the river can reconnect to its flood terrace. Well, you have this giant clump of living trees and root material and, you know, of course, it could just be green waste, but it's alive. And so what amazing raw material to do restoration. So on the one hand, I'm saying we have to take riparian out of the artificially constrained, hydraulically altered main reel river, Eel River channel. And then I'm saying that we could actually use that riparian vegetation to restore a riparian zone for Lower Soda.
As the morning mist thickened into rain, the group watched a herd of elk cross Salmon Creek. The smell of wet pennyroyal filled the air on the bank of Lake Pillsbury. And Higgins talked about the one thing he really needs to make the salmon park a reality.
I think it's one of those rare things involved in the Potter Valley project that isn't controversial. And that's what I'm seeking, Sarah. It's like consensus. You know, and if there's consensus and there's very little opposition and the main impediments are bureaucratic and money, we'll just stick with it till we get what we need. Oh, magic!
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reith. We just went on a field trip to the Eel River between Lake Pillsbury and Pioneer Bridge with Patrick Higgins of the Eel River Recovery Project.